Time to panic that the Buccaneers haven't hired an offensive coordinator and we're nearing mid-February. Mike Evans potentially traded out of Tampa Bay. Scott Smith of Buccaneers.com is here to say no to both and a whole lot more on today's episode of Locked On Bucs.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bucs Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube and the 10 Tampa Bay Plus app on your Roku or your Amazon Fire Stick. And of course, we thank you for making us your first listener, your first view every single day. I am David Harrison, staff writer over at BucsGameDay.com, part of Sports Illustrated's Fan Nation. My co-host, James Jarko, the deputy editor of BucsNation.com, part of SB Nation. Not here for today's episode, but he is on Twitter at Jarko_Bucks. I'm at DHarrison82. And the show is at Locked On Bucs. Today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL. We thank you again for making us your first listen or your first view of the day. The Philadelphia Eagles may have the better team, but there's one reason the Kansas City Chiefs are still Scott Smith's favorite to win the Super Bowl this weekend. One last pitch for Rondae Barber to finally take his rightful place in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. All that coming from Scott Smith, the senior writer and editor of Buccaneers.com. But first, we start with Tom Brady and everything that comes after him. Joining us here today on the Locked On Bucs podcast is Scott Smith, senior writer and editor of Buccaneers.com. Of course, you can always find Scott on Twitter at Scott S. Bucs. Scott, how you doing? It's been a minute. I think Monday night against New Orleans Saints is the last time I got to see you in person. Also got to see you on the big screen doing your thing there at Raymond James Stadium. How you been since then, and how's the early part of the offseason treating you?
I've been good. Obviously, the season didn't end the way we wanted it to, although that Monday night was good, especially at the end. From a personal standpoint, whenever a season ends, and you work for a team, your workload drops dramatically all at once. So there's still plenty to do, but nothing like during the season. So I wish we were still playing. But every time the offseason rolls around, you do get a sense of just like a decompression for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's fast and furious, right? From the time training camp starts, it really just doesn't stop until the end of the year. So you can certainly understand that. Of course, not only did the season come to an end, but also apparently Tom Brady's career came to an end. So I think that's where we kind of have to start off. What was your sense of Tom's future following that loss to the Dallas Cowboys? And then again, during like locker room cleanouts and all that, I know some of the players and the media and attendance all kind of got that vibe. Did you continue to get that vibe even into the day after and then when the players departed the facility?
Yeah. Going towards the end of the season, I was of the opinion that he would hit free agency one more time and maybe he'd come back to the Bucs, but he might look for a different situation. But yeah, there was sort of that. I think it was actually in the locker room after the last game where some of his conversations led people in that direction. So it did seem start to become, maybe the betting favorite in the weeks that followed that he was going to retire. And I'm happy for him. You know, I think he's got a lot left, a lot of interesting things left to do. And 23 seasons is enough, really. I mean, he didn't have anything more to prove, as everybody always says, and it's true.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Happy for Tom. Hopeful for his future. I know, I guess the report came out he's going to take a year off before he goes into the broadcast booth as well. Certainly hasn't earned the right to do that. But once again, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we're talking about the future of the quarterback situation. Had this conversation last year for about 39 days. again, that's going to be at the top of all the conversation charts. So what's your sense on kind of what this team is going to, because a lot of people look at this and say, okay, some of them think this is a complete rebuild, like Cam Jordan, obviously the Pro Bowl says, oh, well, now the Bucs are going to go back to where they were before. Not sure what he specifically meant by that. But some people also look at this as just kind of a reload situation and how that could differ and how the team approaches the quarterback situation. Do you have a feel kind of an opinion of where the team's focus is? Is it rebuild or is it reload time right now in Tampa?
Well, I think what Cam Jordan probably was referring to was the, 13 or 12 straight seasons of not being in the playoffs and the Saints owning us for about 3 or 4 years in a row. I don't think it's quite as dire as he's making that out to be, but because I don't think that the leadership of this team wants to go into a full rebuild. there are obviously reasons why that might make sense. But I think they're still feeling pretty good about the roster in general. You obviously have to solve that quarterback problem. And I would be lying to you if I said I knew what that solution was going to be, because it's just so wide open right now. The only quarterback under contract for 2023 is Kyle Trask, who was a second-round pick. And, you know, I mean, the last pick in the second round, but still a second-round pick. So obviously there was some thought when we took him that he could be developed into the quarterback of the future. And now the future's here. So I don't think that's out of the question, but we just simply don't know anything about him. Those, I don't know, what, nine passes or whatever he had against Atlanta with mostly reserves and not really running much of a real game plan. That didn't tell me anything at all. I mean, I gleaned no useful information out of that appearance. So we'll have to see how that goes now. If the Buccaneers don't bring in an obviously established veteran starter, you know, he'll be getting a lot more attention from the coaches and, you know, a lot more reps with the starters and so on in the OTAs and so on. And then maybe we'll start to get a feel. But the Bucs obviously have to add a couple quarterbacks. They either have to re-sign Blaine Gabbert or replace him, and they only have the one. So are they in play in the draft? You know, they're not probably going to get one of the top three rated guys at pick number 19, but you could trade maybe another one like an Anthony Richardson or somebody makes it to number 19. It's the big story of the offseason. Clearly, that's the number one story. What are the Buccaneers going to do at quarterback? Because everything else kind of falls from there. And of course, the first domino already fell with Tom Brady making his announcement. So at least there's clarity early on. You know, last year with his decision to retire and he changed his mind, like you said, like 39 or 40 days later, it happened kind of right before free agency. And so that in itself gave a lot of sudden clarity to everything. And the Bucs were able to re-sign some free agents who said that Tom Brady's return was a factor in that. This year, you get the clarity early on. And I'm sure there's already plans being laid. I think I'd go back to a couple years ago when then head coach Bruce Arians said the Buccaneers were, or maybe that was last year during Tom Brady's retirement, the Buccaneers were going to turn over every rock and look at every option when it comes to the quarterback position.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we agree. Like you kind of mentioned, this is more of a reload situation, not taking it down to, you know, bare bones and trying to build it back up. I agree with that. And I hate to almost ask you this, but I think enough fans are talking about it that we need to kind of just get this out there. And mostly it's opposing team fans. They want their team to trade for Mike Evans. Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being there's no way that Mike Evans is a Buccaneer. 1, there's no way he's not a Buccaneer in 2023. Where do you put the likelihood that Mike Evans is available for trade?
I don't think that's going to even be a consideration. And I don't mind answering that question because it kind of speaks to the Bucs' entire situation. I'm sure that a lot of people that are throwing that idea out there are starting from the fact that the Buccaneers, according to, say, SpotTrack or Over the Cap or whatever, these aren't numbers coming from inside the team because they don't release numbers. But externally, you can find salary cap numbers, and it appears as if the Buccaneers are about right now with the contracts they have in place for 2023, about what, $56 million over. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, well, how do you solve that? But part of the thing there you got to understand is trading players often doesn't really solve anything. You sometimes still get whatever dead money hit you were going to take anyway. And there are other ways that the Buccaneers can get not only to the cap, which they have to do, but also a little bit under so you can re-sign some of your guys and maybe get a quarterback. So, there's other things that you could do. In fact, you could extend both Mike and Chris a year or two and sort of ease the hit for this year and spread it out a little bit more. And the cap's going to go up. And the Bucs' current contract situation for 2024 isn't nearly as dire. Right. So there should be more room to maneuver next year, hopefully, if this is all done right. You can restructure some guys. And honestly, there may be some guys who the Buccaneers release. I don't really want to speculate on that part of it, but you can find plenty of speculation about that out there.
Today's episode of the Locked On Bucs podcast is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools that go beyond resume data by using insight from your job post, company, and their 875 million member profiles to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications all on one platform. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks again, everybody, for making Locked On Bucks first listen or your first view every single day. Joined today by Scott Smith, senior writer and editor of Buccaneers.com. And Scott, you're already, we're lockstep, man. We're the reload in the salary cap is not a dire situation. Everybody thinks that there's no way Mike Evans is going anywhere. I'm going to clip that for when Locked On Ravens decides they want to have that conversation. I'll just send that out to them. You mentioned the salary cap. Let's flip back to the quarterback conversation, because again, it's going to dominate everything until we know kind of a firm answer. There's a lot of rumored options, right? Derek Carr, who's actually visiting the New Orleans Saints, which is interesting, is a rumored or a potential option out there. Jimmy Garoppolo, of course, is a veteran that was talked about last year and then will be again this year. And you already mentioned Kyle Trask, and certainly the Gator fan contingent of Bucks fans would certainly like to see Kyle get his opportunity in the draft. I mean, Will Levis, maybe, you know, I think out of the top three that you kind of mentioned, maybe Will Levis is most likely to slide a little bit. Anthony Richardson is a guy that many people expect might be available as well. Is there a quarterback? I know you can't predict what's going to happen, but is there a quarterback that you're kind of most intrigued about as an option for the Bucks next season?
Oh, I don't know if there's one, but I would start the conversation there where you did with Derek Carr. It's funny because my first reaction to could the Bucks sign Derek Carr is, well, we just talked about them being $56 million over the salary cap. But you know who's the only team in a worse situation than the Bucks? And that's the Saints. And obviously, if the Saints are visiting with him, they're thinking there's a way that they can make it happen. So if they can make it happen, I assume there's some way that our salary cap whizzes could make it happen as well. But that's a lot of money to spend on a quarterback, because you've got Tom Brady with his dead cap hit, which was anticipated. And if the paperwork is processed the way that it could be, the Buccaneers can either choose to eat the whole $35 million cap hit this year or spread it between about 11 this year and 24 next year. And the decision on which way to do that probably will depend on how aggressively they want to go after some free agents, including a quarterback, because there is some value in just taking the whole hit this year and not having to worry about it next year if you can do the rest of your salary cap maneuvering without that. But if you wanted to be a little bit more aggressive, that's part of the move. But if you think about that, it's either $11 or $35 million basically committed to a quarterback who's no longer here, and then what, another $35, $40 million for Derek Carr? That's an awful lot to spend on the quarterback position. So obviously, going back to your part about rebuild or reload, you better feel that you really do have everything else or most everything else in place to be a real contender to make a move like that. As for Will Levis, I'm personally of the opinion that, like most drafts, last year being the big exception, the quarterbacks rise. And I think all three of those guys are probably going in the top 10, him and Young and CJ Stroud.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a predominant thought. Talk to a scout in Mobile who said that he would like his team to take Anthony Richardson. That guy's team is in the top 10. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, there you go.
That was an interesting conversation for me to have personally. I was like, hey, you're smarter than I am. I got to go back and watch some stuff if that's what you're saying, because I'm not saying
anything
on my show. So
I think one team that makes sense for Richardson is Detroit.
That could be interesting. I know Jared Goff had a good enough season, but still a lot of people don't feel like he is the future. Well, yeah, that's definitely a team to watch.
I mean, they made it work with Jared Goff, and they probably feel they can do so again in this season, and that gives them a little time, because obviously the thing on Richardson is that he's incredibly talented but also not very experienced. So if you think if you think you can plug Bryce Young right in, you draft him. But if you think that you need a little time to develop Anthony Richardson, then he would make a lot of sense to go to a team, especially one that has two picks in the first round, that could develop him for a while and still be competitive with the guy that they have.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's the best route to go if you're looking at AR, honestly, in the draft. And I'll tell you, that scout did not work for a team that has a quarterback to bridge.
Oh, okay, so okay.
It's a little bit more interesting, okay, to be quite honest with you. Yeah, it was special. Of course, so quarterbacks are going to be huge, obviously. We're going to continue to talk quarterbacks throughout the offseason. But the other position that's open for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that everybody's talking about is also the offensive coordinator position after Byron left, which was let go at the end of the season. Scott, 3 years is a relatively short amount of time in your career, but also a good amount of time to get to know a person. So kind of what is your view of Byron as a coach, as a person, as a member of the organization as he moves on to the next step of his coaching career?
He's actually 4 years because he was the first year under Arians before Tom Brady got here. And that was a pretty prolific offense. And obviously with Jameis, we had turnover issues, but they did put up a lot of yards. And I think that's the first thing I would say about Byron is obviously the Bucs felt that there was a need for a change, and hopefully the offense can get back going in the right direction with whoever is leading it now. But let's not dismiss the three seasons of really good, especially the first two with Tom Brady, of really good production. I mean, over the 2021 seasons, the Buccaneers were the top scoring team in the league in those two seasons combined. Obviously you had Tom Brady and a lot of talented players, but obviously the play calling was working. And, you had a lot of turnover this year. You had issues on the offensive line. You had Tom Brady getting rid of the ball very quickly. And I don't think that Byron Leftwich went directly from a guy that could lead the best offense in the league to a guy that's terrible. Yeah. So I'm hoping he lands somewhere, gets another shot. But I do agree that it was pretty clearly time to move on. And it'll be very, very interesting because it's going to change everything. I mean, it could change the way you decide to go in this quarterback issue, depending upon who you bring in. And it's going to be fun, to be honest with you, to see whatever the new guy is. What does he lean on? What types of running? Does he like zone running? Does he like outside zone? Does he like duo? You know, does he take a lot of shots downfield? All that stuff. It's going to be very interesting. And obviously the Bucs are casting a wide net and doing their due diligence on this one because they've already interviewed seven guys. I think that process is going to heat up again really soon with another round of interviews, maybe another candidate or two. So it's hard to predict who that'll be right now, but I think they're definitely doing their due diligence to make sure they get a guy that they think can really take this offense back up to another level.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, that's why I wanted to bring that question, because I think it's important for everybody to remember. And I actually fell into the trap that a lot of Bucs fans were like, Byron Leftwich didn't start with Tom Brady, like you mentioned here in Tampa. So I'm glad you caught that. But, like you said, I go back and I say a lot of times to fans that, it takes a lot of talent to be bad in the National Football League. And to be a practice squad player, it takes a lot of skill.
Yeah.
Just do that. So it takes a lot of talent to be a bad offense coordinator. And Byron wasn't necessarily always a bad offense coordinator. Reminds me of Ron Rivera. He was a defense coordinator, got fired from that position, went back to being a position coach for a little while, worked his way back up the ladder, head coach, took the Carolina Panthers to the Super Bowl. Now he's trying to resurrect things with the Washington Commanders. So, I mean, the story is not done on Byron Leftwich for sure, but there's a lot of interesting stories surrounding this offensive coordinator search. Todd Monken is one gentleman that you're obviously familiar with from his previous job with Tampa, maybe even outside of that, but is there a candidate? You mentioned the long list of candidates here. Dan Pitcher, I think, has become the Locked On Bucs favorite. Truth be told, a lot of that has to do with Joe Burrow, which I don't know how much of that is really fair because we're not on the inside of that situation either. But is there a guy you've been writing all these profiles as someone kind of stood out as like, oh, that's a really interesting candidate amongst the rest?
Well, you started with Todd Monken, and here in the building, a lot of us who have been here for a number of years, we're very intrigued by that one because not only did we do some good things on offense during his tenure as the coordinator, but we all really like the guy. That's not the reason why he should be hired, it's a guy that it's easy for us to root for. And all these guys, and it's a little bit of a risk is the right word, but it's a kind of a tough situation for me to put me into to like endorse one or the other, because if we hire a different one, I don't want to start off on a bad foot with whoever we do hire. Absolutely. But I will admit to you that I also find Dan Pitcher interesting, and expect there's a decent chance he gets another interview. And whenever you have a guy working with a great quarterback, you it's hard to say how much did Dan Pitcher contribute to that, or is he just along for the ride? And I'm not saying that specifically about Dan Pitcher, but about anybody. Like Bruce Arians, he got a lot of credit, and deservedly so, for being a quarterback whisperer, and he was around a lot of really great quarterbacks, right? And I think it's all agreed that he made them better and put them in good positions to succeed. And I think you at least have to give the quarterback coach of any successful quarterback a little bit of a bump for that reason. He certainly isn't messing them up, that's for sure. So it's an intriguing one, but you know, all of them have their strengths, and it'll be interesting to see where the Bucks land.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been great. You know, I like to do my own research on these guys a little bit, go to their team sites, read their bios, stuff, but you've been doing a lot of great work diving into each of these candidates as well. It's been very interesting to kind of get to know some of these guys, at least from a surface level, obviously, as they go through this process. Now, some Bucks fans, Scott, are a little bit worried about the fact that we're into, you know, mid-February. There's not an offensive coordinator hired. I don't get the sense of any, I haven't seen Tampa Bay Times, Peter Report necessarily writing anything about a sense of urgency from like an emergency standpoint. But are you at all surprised that we're into mid-February? The combine's a couple weeks away and there's no offensive coordinator finalized yet, or do you think it's not as big a deal as maybe some fans are feeling the pressure of?
I'd say yes to both of those. I am a little bit surprised because it's what, February 8th, and I think these things usually come together a little quicker than that. But you're actually seeing a lot of that around the league. I don't think it's anything to worry about, to be honest with you. I think that they will probably get that decision in place pretty soon. But you don't want to rush into anything and then regret your decision. So I don't think it's anything to worry about at the moment. There's still plenty of time to hire that person and the other assistant coaching spots that need to be filled, get the whole coaching staff together and plan out for the beginning of the offseason with the players, which isn't until about mid-April. So you got a good amount of time there. And free agency doesn't start until March 15th. So more than a month there. I think I understand that when you get this new coaching staff set, that you're going to need some time for them all to, you know, get together and plan and plan for the entire season and what they're going to do. So you do need some time, but I don't think we're running out of time at this point.
Awesome. So a little bit of both. Kind of wanted to get it done, but it's not time to panic by any means.
I will say, there have been some hires, right? But none of the other OC hires around the league are from the pool of the candidates that the Buccaneers have so far interviewed. Now, I know Todd Monken has interviewed with the Ravens at least, and there's probably, because these guys may have interviewed elsewhere, but none of them have been hired away. So as to this point right now today, we haven't lost a candidate by not doing it yet.
That's true. Very good point. Today's episode of Locked On Bucks is brought to you by FanDuel. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So the Philadelphia Eagles currently favored at 1.5 points against the Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl 57. If you want to take that action, you can do so up to $3,000 with no sweat. If you lose, you get that money back in free bets. You literally can't beat it. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook of the National Football League. Find Scott Smith on Twitter at Scott S. Buck, senior writer and editor of Buccaneers.com. Scott, this episode is going to go up Wednesday evening on YouTube, Thursday morning on the audio feeds. But the majority of Bucks fans, regardless, are going to watch or listen to this on Thursday. And Thursday night is big.
Maybe, hopefully,
Rondé Barber. I have an autographed Rondé Barber football that one of my friends gave me as a retirement gift. From the Army. It's going to go back here soon enough once I get this mess figured out. But hopefully Rondé Barber finally gets the knock on his door that so many Bucks fans and certainly media members feel like he deserves. We did a full-on episode trying to do our best. You know, not that we could do a better job than, say, Ira, but trying to do our best pitch for Rondé. Do you have a beat at all on why it's taken even this long, if this is the year for Rondé to get into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, and we got to hear Ira's pitch before he gave it, hear me and Nelson Luis, the PR director, and he wanted to practice it on us and see if we had any thoughts. And we've obviously worked with him through the years, not just on Barber, but on Lynch and the others, just helping him compile the information and deciding what's most important. I thought he did a great job, so I didn't get to see the actual pitch, obviously, but if he did it the way he did it for us, it was great, and I think it emphasized the right things. And I will say the reason that I think that Rondé Barber isn't in yet, and even though I hate this argument, but I have heard from people in that room that is something that people say in that room when they're debating him, and that Rondé is just a system cornerback. I just think it's the silliest argument that people continue to make. On the top of it, I don't think what does it matter if a specific system he happened to excel at? You can't tell me that you take another corner, just a replacement level corner, and put him in that same role that he was playing, and you get the same results. Great players made that system work, and he was one of the greatest. I'm not, and you can't say he wouldn't have excelled in other systems either, but he helped redefine the way the nickel position is played. You know, he played that dual outside-inside role. He was on the field for every snap, but in nickel, he went inside. Now you see how important that nickel job is. It's considered a starting position now, and a lot of, and teams are investing in it and trying. It's hard to find a really good nickel corner. Like, you find a guy like Jerron Johnson in Buffalo, and he's not a big name, but he's not Tre'Davious White, but he's doing as much for that team as Tre'Davious White is, and guys like that. And the way that the nickel position is played now was basically pioneered by Rondé. And you got to be physical. You got to be able to tackle. If you can blitz well, that's a big, big help. And obviously, he was a fantastic blitzer. And you got to work in those spaces where, you know, it's tight. And you, and having anticipation, which was one of Rondé's greatest assets, and, you know, his brain and his anticipation is so helpful in that spot to be able to generate so many turnovers. So I can't stand the system cornerback argument. I think it's easily debunked. And if that's the only thing you're resting a no on, I don't know how you can say no. To me, he ticks every box, every single box. He's got huge stats. He's got milestone type stats, like the only 40-25 guy and the most consecutive starts by a cornerback. And he's got basically the most tackles ever by a cornerback. He's got 14 non-offensive touchdowns, which is fourth all time. And he's got all the big stats. He's got the championship. He's got a signature play, you know, that got the Bucs to the Super Bowl. And he's got unbelievable longevity, which in itself shouldn't get you in the Hall of Fame. But when you play 16 years at a high level, that should be a really big argument to me. So to me, he checks every box, and I'm really hoping this is the year. A couple of us in the office every year do our predictions of the five guys. They're written on the board right over there, and all three of us predicted Rondé. So we're pretty hopeful. We're pretty hopeful. I don't think there's too many. The problem oftentimes is, are there too many obvious first ballot guys that are new to the ballot? To me, Joe Thomas is one. Some people think Darrelle Revis is one. I'm not sure he's a first ballot lock, but that's probably it. From guys you go, that guy has to go in first, right? Like, if it's Peyton Manning, has to go in first ballot. Right. I think Joe Thomas, to me, is the only one. So that leaves us, that leaves opportunities for voters if they've been waiting because, okay, we needed to get this guy in first and there wasn't room for Rondé last year and we needed to get this guy. Well, maybe now this is the year that they go, okay, this is Rondé's year, and then we'll move on to the next guy that's been waiting.
Yeah, absolutely. So I obviously agree with everything you said. Hopefully I was able to communicate that and the voters finally, hopefully they're listening. You listed a lot of things, and all those things are obviously great, but you got to cover Rondé's career, and you got a viewpoint of that that not a lot of people were able to get. So I kind of want to ask you, like, something like beyond all the, like, those things are amazing, and I don't want to detract from them at all, but is there anything even beyond that that you remember fondly when you look back at Rondé's career, even if it's not on the field, but just in the building?
Absolutely. I would say, and I'll preface this by saying, and I'm not just saying this because we're talking about him now, but Rondé Barber is my all-time favorite Buccaneer from a combination standpoint of his play and the guy that he is. And, you know, the relationships. I will say this about Rondé. Not all guys are like this. And I'm not saying anything negative about any other players. And we've got a lot of great guys in our locker room. Rondé was a guy that treated everybody in the building the same way. So some guys are different towards their fellow players than they are to football staffers, or even if they're that way to football staffers, they're not the same to business staffers. Rondé was just as happy to go up to the second floor here and hang out in the and then back at the old place, and it was on the same floor, but and hang out in the video room with those guys. Sometimes it's because he didn't really want to go in the open locker room the whole time, because he was a great interview, but he wouldn't do cliches. He would give you good, honest answers that weren't cliches. And when you kind of committed to doing that, you don't want to do a billion interviews, right? So I would suspect there were times when he was limiting the number of interviews that he had to give, but he's just as happy hanging out in the video room with those guys as he is hanging out in the locker room with his teammates. So absolutely wonderful guy. Another reason why I really hope this is the year for him. Yeah, and if not, it better happen at some point.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Great insight on Rondé Barber. We're all pulling for him. So hopefully Rondé, you know, hopefully Rondé is getting good news on Thursday, as like I said, the majority of people are listening or watching this episode. Of course, the play you referenced, Sean King actually was on the show recently, referenced the same play, shutting down the vet. Unfortunately, the Philadelphia Eagles are playing for the Super Bowl this weekend, and the Buccaneers are not. They're facing
the Chiefs. I'll be rooting for the Chiefs.
I was going to say, I know you can't bet. Don't bet. But
I don't, yeah.
I know you're rooting for the Chiefs. Do you see the Chiefs hoisting Lombardi at the end, or do you think the Eagles have a shot at pulling this off?
I was just listening to a podcast, and they made a good point in that if you look at – obviously, Philly's – maybe they're the most talented team in the league, right? And they're – how many sacks do they have? Like 71, some just ridiculous number. Crazy. They're fantastic in the trenches on both sides. There's all kinds of reasons when you break this team down and break the matchup down and go, well, it's the Eagles, and that's why they're favored, because they can do it all. They can run on you. They're a great running team. Jalen Hurts said an awesome year, MVP candidate. But then you go, well, but the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, you know? So that's like the whole other side of that argument. The Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, and I don't want to vote against Patrick Mahomes. You're right, I can't bet, and I don't bet. But I am rooting for the Chiefs, and if I had to pick the winner right now, I would go with the Chiefs for that nebulous reason of just, hey, it's Patrick Mahomes. But also, as great as the Eagles' defense has been, when they faced top offenses this year, they've actually given up a decent amount of points, like around 30 a game when they face really good offenses. I think they gave up 30-something to Aaron Rodgers, you know. So that is a top offense in Kansas City simply because of Mahomes, but also Travis Kelce. And if their receivers can get it healthy in time, that the Eagles can't just bracket Travis Kelce all day. I just think somehow Mahomes and Kelce are going to pull that out. Also, the Chiefs' defense – I think is a little bit underrated. I know they're kind of young at cornerback, but Chris Jones is a game wrecker, man. And if he goes on another tear like he did against Cincinnati, that could make it tough for the Eagles. So it's such a great matchup. All I want is a great game, you know, because the two conference championship games weren't all that awesome. You know, they were kind of boring. Yeah.
That's true. And, you know, and I think, you know, obviously the Niners had the injuries and that's unfortunate, but I think
right.
You're right. I mean, I've been looking at this matchup because I've got some time. Fortunately, I am a gambler and I will be gambling, but, you know, the Eagles. Yeah. I mean, just their down linemen, 51 sacks, I think, between just ridiculous. Their down linemen, Hassan Reddick automatically adds in another 15 because that's not crazy enough. But then you go, but Pat. You go with Patrick Mahomes on the field. So it's insane. It's intense. And that offensive line in Kansas City is much better than the one that the Buccaneers are able to exploit to get the Super Bowl win.
Right.
But I agree with you. Regardless, it's going to be a great game. If you believe the script conspiracies, 37-34 Philly is probably going to be the outcome. I don't know how much people should agree. Should
believe that. Sounds like it would be a fun game, at least, 37-34.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that would be an electric Super Bowl. Always a great time speaking with you, Scott. Bucs fans, make sure you're finding Scott and his work on Buccaneers.com, of course, where he's senior writer and editor of your favorite team's website. So make sure you're supporting that. Also on Twitter, at Scott S. Bucs. Make sure you're also checking out Brianna's Blitz, great article series going on there. Mock drafts, senior bowl reactions, the combine coverage is coming up, league meetings. I mean, it's never a quiet day. In the National Football League, really. And Scott Smith, you've always been a good friend of the show, always a great source of information from inside the Bucs organizations for fans. Scott, thank you for your time, and always appreciate your time. But
thank you. I appreciate it, too. And I'll work on getting this lighting better for the next one.
Thanks again, everyone, for making the Locked On Bucs podcast first listen or your first view of the day. For your second, make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On NFL podcast to get daily conversations on the biggest NFL stories, plus in-depth analysis on the biggest game with the NFL key predictions every Friday and Monday. Local insiders cover the weekend with game-to-game episodes. Locked On NFL here in the season and during the offseason, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back. If you've got reactions to today's conversation, additional questions or subjects you want to discuss, if you hear anybody else from another fan base saying that their team is going to trade for Mike Evans, you can tell them that Scott Smith of Buccaneers.com told you that is absolutely not going to happen. Send in your comments and your questions, your mock drafts, if you've got them, send to LockedOnBucsPodcast@gmail.com or hit us up in the DMs at LockedOnBucks on Twitter. I'm David Harrison for James Jarko. Until we speak again, make sure you're checking out everything we're writing and doing over at BucsNation.com and at BucsGameDay.com, on Twitter at DHarrison82, at JJarko_Bucks, and again at LockedOnBucks. If you're out and about, please be safe, be kind to one another, wash your hands, fire the cannons, and thank you for joining me right here on Locked On Bucs.